a part of the body. And so I don't want anyone to move, thank you so much, Herman, to any type of misconception as to how it is you and I become part of the greatest family in the history of the world. Let's talk about the church, and we're going to talk about several things here today. We're going to talk about the church, where we're going, the church, the past, the present, and the future of the church. You know, the church had its beginnings at the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, that's when the seed was deposited into the planet. The promise came long before that. But when the seed was deposited, that was the beginning of the unveiling of the church. Now, the actual birthing or the church being brought forth took place at Calvary. You know, when a woman delivers a natural child, one of the first signs that a mother's ready to be delivered is that her water breaks. She's ready to go then. I mean, hey, it's time to be at the hospital. Then you feel the labor pains. You feel the contractions, and there's a certain dilation that has to take place. But at the birth, not only is there water, but there's also blood mingled with the water at the time of the birth. And there's a breaking forth of that child into the planet. When Jesus was on the cross, just to test to find out if he was dead, the other to the left and to the right, they had broken their legs. But when they came to Christ, they found out that he was already dead. So instead of breaking his legs, they took a spear and they pierced him in his side. And out of his side came blood mingled with water. You and I were birthed at the cross. We were birthed out of Christ. We become part of the greatest family in the universe. We are the sons of God, birthed into the family of God. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. We have an inheritance. You're part of a new family. And if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're standing outside of the family. You're over for the picnic. You can have some of the food, but you're not part of the family. We have gatherings in our natural realm, and we invite people over. But at the family reunion, that's strictly limited to those who are of the family. It's different between a gathering that you might have. We're going to have a gathering on Memorial Day. We're going to have a Memorial Day picnic. We're going to invite people near and far to come and partake and be a part of this, to get them into this environment, to where they can see what the family of God looks like, where they can have opportunity if they choose to be a part of this family. See, when we talk about the family, we're not just talking about our local assembly. We're a part of it. But the family of God is universal. And it covers men and women of nationality, of goodwill, from all different walks of life, those who have made the heartfelt commitment to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. Over in St. John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name." Now, we're going to keep seeing here in believing and faith mixed in what we're talking about today, because in order you become a part of this family, you don't have to pay your dues. You don't have to fill out an application. You don't have to have a credit check. There are no background checks going on. People are not tracing your history down. All they want to know if there first be a willing mind. A first be a willing mind, a mind to say yes unto Christ. You know, salvation is such a beautiful situation for us because the price was paid for us. See, we could not offer up the price that was necessary to redeem us. We couldn't do it. We didn't have the money to pay the price. The Bible said that the wages of sin is death. And see, death is not like the most people picture death as, oh, someone laying in a coffin, that's death. No, that's not death at all. That's just you being absent from the body. Death takes on an eternal factor because you are an eternal being. And if you die outside of Christ, it means you die rejecting the only salvation that was available for you to be redeemed or to be saved. And if you refuse to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, God created another eternal place for those who choose. I said choose now, because these are your choices. But those who choose to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, God has another place reserved for them. We don't have the right to choose. I should put it like this. We can't pick our destination outside of God's plan of salvation. You know, we can't say, well, I want to live like the devil and live in heaven. You know, we can't say, well, although I reject the sin sacrifice, you giving your only begotten son, I reject all that. I really don't believe in God, but I want to live in a place of paradise that I create in my mind. You're fooling yourself. But God's love has so been extended toward you that the Bible said that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, talking about Jesus, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that were in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. For he is before all things. Remember, it said the plan was launched way before Bethlehem. Way before Bethlehem, the plan was already conceived. The Bible says in St. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So we see now that the invisible God is being manifested through the Word, and the Word becoming flesh in our lives. Verse 16 says, for by him were all things created, which are in heaven or in earth, visible or invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Verse 18, he said, and he is the head of the body. Head of the what? The body is the what? The church. Jesus is the head. We make up parts of the body. We make hands, feet, whatever the function. You're part of it. You have an activity. There's no one more important than the other. Although I can think like I want to, if I can't see where I'm going, I'm going to bump into a wall. If I can't hear, I'll never know what someone else is trying to communicate to me. If I don't have legs, I can't go where I want to go. Every portion of the body is important, and you are important in the corporate body of Christ. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. See, our job or our ability to function is based on our submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. How many want Jesus to be their Savior? Huh? Well, how many has allowed Jesus also to be their Lord? What is the difference? I mean, I know a lot of people that don't want to go to hell. I mean, you can ask anybody. I mean, the rational mind, you ask somebody, do you want to go to hell? They're going to say, no, I don't want to go to hell. They want Jesus to be their Savior. They want that fire insurance. They don't want to go to hell. It's just like the firemen that you up on the 60th floor in a burning building and flames are leaking out the window, and they get the extension ladder, and that fireman runs up that ladder and pulls you off that ledge. He's your Savior. Takes you down to the ground and sets you on the ground. And now if he starts to instruct you and tell you how to live, you're going to say, wait a minute, hold up. Appreciate you getting me off the ledge, saving me from that fire, but I can take it from here. But when it comes down to our relationship with Christ, not only has he saved us from an eternal damnation, and sometimes we just focus on that. See, you're already, you know, it's not like you had a choice. The Bible said we were born in sin. That was already there. I don't care. Oh, I'm a sinner. This is why. You were born in sin. I don't care if you're a good person. You're nice. You help other people. You're just a nice sinner. And that's okay. You can be a nice sinner, but it won't save you. Salvation is based on our committing our life unto Christ. And then it just opens up a whole new realm. A whole new realm of experiencing the love of God. Knowing who you are and why you were created is so important. He said, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. The message of reconciliation is what we preach. Not a message of condemnation. Not here to condemn you. Make you aware your state is one thing. Condemning you is another. Many places you go, they won't even make you aware of your state. They'll make you think that you're okay. It's all right if you're still living in common law. It's all right if you're still in the line. Or period. Forget all that. They'll say it's all right if you've never confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior. Just be nice. I checked the fruit of the Spirit. Nice is not one of them. There's a whole lot of nice people going to hell because someone didn't tell them the truth. The truth is that God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. So you don't have to die and go to hell, but you can go to heaven. It's your choice. There's a way. There's a door. All you have to do is enter in. Guess what? It's all by love. It's a love covenant. Some of you think you're in love with the person that you're married to or the girlfriend or the boyfriend that you got. You have not experienced love until you fall in love with Jesus. And when you fall in love with him, then you'll truly learn how to love one another. And you'll find out that God has his hand extended towards you, not to hurt you, not to harm you, but to save you and to deliver you. There's an enemy out there who has deceived you. The enemy has told you, matter of fact, he corrupted your program way back in the book of Genesis. He uploaded a virus into your computer, if I can put it that way. See, man was never created to question God, only to obey God, because God is the just God. You don't have a problem obeying him. See, the program got corrupted when they began to question God. Now, see, understand, there's a difference between understanding the mechanics of a thing and how a thing operates. We need to know that. The Bible said, get wisdom, but all you're getting, get understanding. So you need wisdom and understanding. We're not talking about blind faith here. That's not what we're talking about. But when you begin to question the ability or the validity or the truthfulness of God, then you're questioning God's integrity. And if you don't believe God, then God's word will not be effective in your life. You alienate yourself from God when you don't believe God. If you got to analyze everything that God says, then you won't get past the virgin birth. You'll be stuck right there. How can that be? Well, it happens, don't it? They got what they call in vitro fertilization today. They got women who put their eggs in the freezer somewhere and wait I don't know how long before they get the right donor, and then they implant it in somebody else. Didn't have sex. But back then, it was different. So everything that we receive from God has to be by faith. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you understand who you are in Christ Jesus? Now, understand what I'm saying to you now. There's an enemy that has been dispatched in the planet. His name is Satan. It's Lucifer. His job is to deceive you. His job is to convince you that you can be all right by yourself. What did he tell Adam and Eve? You shall not surely die. For God knows in the day that you eat thereof, you shall be like God. You'll be a God unto yourself. And doesn't the Psalms say that ye are gods? Isn't that written in the book that it says that ye are gods? What does that mean? That means there's something eternal about you. You will always continue to exist. But to exist outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, outside of that benevolent salvation, is to exist in a place of rebellion and torment that was created for Satan and his angels. See, God would allow you to parent up to whoever you want to. You can parent up to God and receive God's benefits and God's blessing. You can parent up to the devil and receive the devil's benefits. Well, we know what the devil's benefits are. His benefits is eternal damnation in a place of fire that was created for Satan and his angels and not for you. But God is not going to deny you the right of free choice. So you have that opportunity. But I say today, choose life. Choose the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a restrictive relationship. It's a liberating relationship. Everything that God has for you will add quality to your life. It adds joy to your life. It adds peace to your life. It gets rid of all of the Jerry Springer drama out of your life. Some people live their life looking at Jerry Springer. This is it. They got to have that kind of upset, that kind of upheaval. You know, this one's sleeping with that one. This one's going with that one. Let's get a DNA test and see if you're really the baby daddy. And they live in that kind of drama, and that stuff sucks them in through daily life, and they see themselves acting out that type of lifestyle. It's not Christ. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and I'm lowly of heart, and you'll find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But we're going to have to find out how we respond to God. And in Romans chapter 29, the Bible talks about 8:29. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, when we hear the word predestinate, and we think about predestination, I don't want you to get confused. And you know, there's a doctrine of predestination. God has laid before you two pathways. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, he said, behold, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. God knows the pathway and what's down each road. And when you come to the road, the fork in the road, it's going to be you making the choice of what you decide to do. There's no middle road. There's no DMV, DMZ, demilitarized zone. There's no gray area with God. Either you're for him or you're not. Jesus demonstrated the power of the world to come because he became our example of how we are to operate in kingdom power. Jesus had the power to do uncommon miracles, the wisdom to stop the mouth of the gainsayers. At his death, Jesus transformed his power in his fullness to the church through the power of the Holy Ghost. So that he transferred his power, in the fullness through the church through the Holy Spirit. One of the benefits of being saved or accepting Christ is that God gives you the power to live this life. Can't do it on your own. This Bible says that it is God who will give you both the will and the to-do of his good pleasure. Not only the will of mind, but also the power to do it. You can't save yourself. God will empower you through the power of the Holy Ghost to live this life we call Christianity. See, God gave us really three commandments. Number one, to love the Lord thy God for all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Then the third is that you love one another even as I have loved you. So now this is a love covenant that we're entering into, and it's based on us extending love and forgiveness one for another. By this here you know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have one for another. So as I began to say, although I will make you aware of your condition, I'm not here to condemn you. But I am to show you that there is a pathway of life, that there's full of love, that the Lord is calling you to walk down. And if you choose this pathway, you're going to find the fullness of life. But for me to tell you that you're okay just as you are, just be a nice person, and you're going to make it in okay, I would be deceiving you. God is always going to challenge you with a volitional choice. You have to make the choice. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me before men, I'll also deny you before my Father. Now, this is getting crucial. It's getting critical because we're in the last days. I'm out for wishy-washy. I'm out for unsure. Elijah, when he turned the nation of Israel back to God, challenged the 450 prophets of Baal and asked them a question, said, how long will you halt between two opinions? If God be God, then serve God. You want to serve the world, then go ahead and just live. Live like the devil, if that's what you're going to do. But don't try to straddle the fence. Don't be a hypocrite. If you're going to serve God, serve him with everything that's in you. If you're going to serve the devil, have a good time on your way to hell. But don't vacillate between two opinions. The Bible said that the people remained silent until they saw the demonstration of the Spirit of God coming down as fire and consuming the sacrifice and the altar that Elijah has built. Get ready, because God is about to pour out in these last days an outpour of his Spirit. Those of you that are in Wonderland, God's going to give you what you need to take the right choice. He's not going to just leave you there because he loves you. He can sacrifice his son if you just to willy-nilly make a bad mistake. See, signs and wonders are not for you and I who believe, for those who need to see something. Signs and wonders are for the unbelievers. See, when we preach the word of God, and miracles follow them. Confirm, not me, word. It comes confirming the word of God, that the word of God is true. So you're going to start seeing the manifestation of the Spirit of God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You're going to see a lot of more miracles of people getting healed and delivered. You're going to see creative miracles that you never thought that you would see in the church, because God said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. You're in the right place at the right time to hear the right word and for you to make the right decision of where you want to spend your life, eternity. Jesus loves you. At his death, like I said, he transferred his power in the fullness to the church through the power of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 tells them, they say, but ye shall receive power. Someone say power. You know that you have power on the inside of you. God's creative power is on the inside of you right now. Holy Spirit comes to empower you not just to be able to live right. Yes, that too. The power of God is in you for the manifestation that it will push back darkness or destroy the works of the kingdom of darkness. It's a power that will manifest in you that's greater than any other power in the universe, because it's the Holy Spirit. Empower you to not only do miracles, signs, and wonders. Empower you to go through life's adversities. Cause you to live a steadfast life when everything else contrary to that is coming towards you. Give you the faith to hold out when everybody else is ready to give up and let go. It'll cause you to lead the way through the darkness that others may be able to follow. The power of the Holy Ghost will give you the inner dynamics and the strength that you need, and will manifest itself outwardly whenever it's needed. It's not there for show. It's not there to put on a circus act. It's not about that. You you come up on an accident scene and someone's laying there on the ground and you come up and you lay hands in Jesus' name and you believe God for their healing and that person rise up, it's for the glory of God. You rebuke the devil and you cast the devil out of somebody's life with your word. You don't have to lay hands on them. You can rebuke the devil because they understand once you know who you are, the power of God will be manifested in your word. The Bible said when you speak, let it be as the oracle of God. Now, what is an oracle? An oracle is like a prophet, a spokesman, someone who speaks directly for God. You speak the word of God, it's like God speaking through you. Demons will flee. He's given you that power. In my name, by his authority, you have been authorized. You have been equipped. You have the right and the might to go forth in Jesus' name. Just don't let doubt and unbelief pull out what you've got coming out of your mouth. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the earth. Say when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and in one accord in one place. And of course, that's not an automobile, but they're all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came the sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We will see this power demonstrated through the life of the believer, such as Stephen, when he, through the working of the miracles and the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, defended the gospel of Christ. See, God's going to cause you to have testimony by the Spirit of God that you'll be able to speak forth the word of God. Defense to the gospel. Whether or not you know it, Christianity is under fierce attack right now. Attack. And to silence the voice. They don't even want to hear the name of Jesus anywhere. Speak the name of Jesus. They want you praying in school. They don't want you praying on your job. They take the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom. They don't want anything that's visible that has to do with Christ on any of the government property. So now, if you pray, you're offending someone. And say a prayer at school because you're going to offend this one who don't believe. The government is set up by ungodly men who would offend this one instead of standing up for your right. Take away your rights and strip you of your rights until they muzzle the word in your mouth to where it becomes ineffective. Everything is voice activated in the word of God. You're not speaking about Jesus. You're not giving a testimony about his goodness. If you're not telling somebody about his salvation, if you're not taking authority in his name, if you have been intimidated to where you have closed and imprisoned the word of God in your mouth, then you have become ineffective. Come like the servant who took the talent and buried it in the ground. Believe, but I don't want to offend nobody. Not about offending anybody. That's what the enemy is trying to deceive you. Gospels must be preached. Then it just says, where in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth? Who's going to convey it? You are. Not always scripture and verses. Sometimes it's just in practical living and lifestyle and your personal testimony of what God has done for you. God will give you the wisdom to spread that gospel. Let's shift gears just for a second here. We were talking about something this morning. And I really diverted from where I was going this morning, where I was going to go here, because I always want to get the gospel message out. See, what I spoke to you this morning is the gospel message. This is salvation. This is the message of Christ Jesus, him dying on the cross for you. So I want everybody to understand to receive salvation and not how to just receive it, but now how to live it through the power of the Holy Ghost. Talking about this morning in our class about the covenant that God had made with Abraham. Abraham made covenant with God. You got to understand, we said that this didn't begin here at Bethlehem. Started this a long time ago. Back in Genesis, when he told Adam that he was going to put enmity between the woman's seed, serpent's seed. There already is going to be an adversary between you and the devil. We're going to bring someone in that's going to correct this situation. And that anointed seed to come is Jesus. So in Genesis chapter 12, I should say, verse 1 and 3, it talks about the Lord and Abram out of his country. The Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindreds and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. Verse 3, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, this is the Abrahamic covenant. Covenant that you and I have become partakers of. And we get confused because we think we're under the Levitical covenant. We're not. We have a whole different high priest who is administering the Abrahamic covenant. And that's the high priest of Melchizedek. Jesus has been made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So when God began to make this covenant, it was a covenant based on the law. Covenant based.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service times at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Close to you, never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you.